the evaluation that we have been doing for the last 3 years on fungicide resistant development in Botrytis cinerea isolates from cut roses. So as Kaylee mentioned before, Botrytis is a really big problem. It's a ubiquitous pathogen, which means that it's everywhere. So we found it since the retail environments to the greenhouses, and it affects more than 200 different plant species around the world, and is characterized for a necrotrophic action, which means that as the pathogen start infecting the tissue, it kills the tissue to get its food from the plant, so then the plant start decayed looking. On the specific case of cut roses, Botrytis caused a reduction in the post-harvest quality, which leads to economical losses for both growers and wholesalers. So before we go deep into this presentation, I want to make sure that everyone is on the same page. So I would like to bring a couple of definitions. So the first one is resistance, which refers to an acquired and or heritable reduction in the sensitivity of a fungus to a specific antifungal agent that can be biological or chemical as a fungicide. Also, FRAC is an acronym for Fungicide Resistant Action Committee, and the FRAC codes are grouping together the fungicides that have a similar mode of action and for that reason are in risk for fungicide resistance. So in the specific case of cut roses, a big portion of the disease management is based on weekly preventive fungicide applications, which according with some research that has been documented, may lead for resistance development. So here, I would like to bring a couple examples in other crops that have documented resistance to different fungicides. So in the top part, we can see that in blackberry crops, Botrytis cinerea isolate exhibits resistance to boscalid, pyraclostrobin, and thiophanate metal. And in the case of strawberries, they show resistance to those fungicides and additional resistance to cyproinyl 2. So here, I would like to bring an actual example of a commercial fungicide application program that is done in a commercial greenhouse facility in Colombia. So I would like to remark each color represents a different fungicide and each column represents a week of the year. So this is an evaluation of the fungicides that were applying during the course of 1 year. So if we go to the fungicide C in the third row, we can see that in the course of 1 year, we have a total of 11 different fungicide applications. And if you go to the total column, you can see that at the end of the year, we have a total of 92 different fungicide applications in just one greenhouse, which is a really big number of applications. And those applications increase before the peak seasons. So at week 6, we have Valentine's Day, and at week 20, we have Mother's Day, and you can see how they grow more fungicides right before these period times. So for that reason, the objective of this research was to assess fungicide resistance development profiles of isolates from commercial cut roses. So to address that, we have two different studies that we term the Colombian study and the geographical study. So for the Colombian study, we get a total of 6 different shipments over the course of 12 weeks. And for the geographical study, we have a total of 4 shipments over 5 months. And for the Colombian study, we collect a total of 49 isolates from 60 different flowers, and for the geographical study we collect a total of 59 isolates from 80 different flowers. So with the roses, we incubate the tissue for 7 days until the tissue that was infected sporulate. Then we took that sporulation, and with those spores, we perform the resistance profiles. So what we did, we took the spores with a toothpick and we inoculate those spores in these cells containing growing media, and they were amended with different fungicides. We test, as you can see in the left part, 11 different fungicides from 7 different frag coats, and we have also a control. And how we determine if the isolates were sensitive or resistant to that specific fungicide was based on a visual evaluation of the mycelial growth. So here in the red circles, we have an example of two Botrytis isolates that had covered the whole cell with the mycelium. So in this case, those isolates were resistant to the fungicide. And in the bottom part, in the green circles, you can see how the isolates didn't develop mycelial growth. So in this case, it corresponds to sensitive isolates. So going through the results, for the Colombian study, this is a graph of the overview of the average of the 6 shipments, and in the x-axis we have each one of the test fungicides, and the y-axis represents the proportion of isolates that were resistant or sensitive to that specific fungicide. And the yellow bars will represent the resistant isolates, and the green bars will represent the sensitive ones. So we determine that a big proportion, over 70% of the isolates, were resistant to thiophanate metal, iprodione, boscalid, and cyproinyl. We also get some isolates that show resistance to pentioparat, fluoparam, isophetamide, fludioxonil, and phenhexamide. And finally, over the course of the whole study, all our isolates were sensitive to pyriflumetophen and polyoxan D. So this was an overview of the 6 shipments. Now I would like to show you how were the changes in the resistance response across the different shipments. So here we have the frag code representing each one of the fungicides, and for this first shipment you can see that the trend that I show you in the previous slide was the same. So we have a 100% of the isolates showing resistance to thiophanate metal, that is frag 1, to iprodione, that is frag 2, to boscalid, that is the first one of the frag 7s, and to cyproinyl, that correspond to frag 9. For the second shipment, we had a drastic reduction on the resistant development to all the fungicides. And for the third shipment, the proportion of resistant isolates increased again. And from this point, it was a really high proportion of isolates that decreased a little bit for the 6th shipment. So now, here I'm going to I'm showing you the overall resistance development through each one of the shipments. So we get about the same level of resistance development for shipment 1, 3, 4, and 5, followed by a lower resistance level in the 6th shipment. And for shipment 2, we have the lowest resistance development. So based on this, we were wondering what can be happening to have these variations on the resistance development. So from the growers in Colombia, we have the information about the fungicides that were applied prior each one of these shipments. So here in this graph, the x-axis represents the number of fungicide applications that were done in 4 weeks prior to the harvest for our shipments, and the y-axis represents the percentage of resistant isolates that we had at each one of those shipments. And you can see how as they increase the number of fungicide applications before, also the percentage of resistant isolates increase too. Going through the geographical study, we have some resistant development too across the different locations, and for thiophenate metal that correspond to FRAC 1, resistance was present in all the locations with some variations in between them. Also, we got a big proportion of isolates in Ecuador, Colombia, Kenya, and Guatemala that were resistant to cyprodinyl, that is our FRAC 9, and we also get some of the locations with Ecuador, Mexico, and Guatemala exhibiting resistance to iprodione, that is our FRAC 2. So the conclusions for this study, first of all, for the Colombian study, we determined that the Botrytis isolates were often highly resistant to thiophenate metal, iprodione, cyprodinyl, and boscalid, and you can see in parentheses the trade names for each one of those fungicides, and also that the resistant pattern can change rapidly over a relatively short time as the number of fungicide applications also change over that time. And for the geographical study, we would like to remark that Botrytis from cut roses exhibit resistance to thiophenate metal and cyprodinyl even across the continents. We have it in America and in Africa. And we also would like to remark that some of the isolates were resistant to iprodione, highly resistant to iprodione, in several of the locations. Finally, I would like to do my acknowledgments, first of all, to the American Floral Endowment for funding this project, to Floral Life and GR Chia, who provide me with the roses for the study, and to the Faust and Schnabel Lab at Clemson University for all the support and help with me and with this project. From here, I would like to take some questions for you. Thank you very much. Is 1 inch. Mm-hmm. And we evaluate them after 4 days.
For the two chemistries that showed very little to almost no resistance, mm-hmm. why do you think those two particular active ingredients were so effective? Was it a newer chemistry?
Yeah, in the case of pd-flumetofen, it's a FRAC 7, and I don't know if you noticed, but we have some resistance to some of the FRAC 7s, but that is the newest one, and it actually is not released yet for Botrytis control in roses, so it has not been used. And in the case of polyoxin D, is not as new as pd-flumetofen, but it's a newer molecule that has not been used for a long period of time, and so they don't use it, and the isolate didn't develop resistance yet. But we suspect that if they continue use, once that they have the fungicides, if they apply it as much as they apply the rest of the things, they may get some resistance problems too.
Growers that can help them reduce the resistance that they're developing in their botrytis population?
That's a great question, and actually we're trying different resources, and as Kaylin was mentioning before, there is some research that has been done with some bacteria, but in our lab we have been trying to use calcium applications to improve resistance, and so far we have been getting really nice results. So with calcium dips at post-harvest.